From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 119 and verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servants, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Whatever your special need may be, you may readily find some promise in the Bible suited to it. Are you faint and feeble because your way is rough and you are weary? Here is the promise: He giveth power to the faint. When you read such a promise, take it back to the great promiser, and ask Him to fulfill His own word. Are you seeking after Christ and thirsting for closer communion with Him? This promise shines like a star upon you. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Take that promise to the throne continually. Do not plead anything else, but go to God over and over again with this: Lord, Thou hast said it. Do as Thou hast said. Are you distressed because of sin, and burdened with the heavy load of your iniquities? Listen to these words: I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions, and will no more remember thy sins. You have no merit of your own to plead why He should pardon you, but plead His written engagements, and He will perform them. Are you afraid lest you should not be able to hold on to the end? Lest, after having thought yourself a child of God, you should prove a castaway? If that is your state, take this word of grace to the throne and plead it. The mountains may depart, and the hills may be removed, but the covenant of my love shall not depart from thee. If you have lost the sweet sense of the Savior's presence, and are seeking Him with a sorrowful heart, remember the promises: Return unto me, and I will return unto you. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Banquet your faith upon God's own word, and whatever your fears or wants, repair to the bank of faith with your Father's note of hand, saying, Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope.
As I read your holy word, help me see, Lord, help me learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way. Come and melt my stubborn will, make my heart and soul be still. As I read your word, may I heed it and obey. Like the first rays of morning light, it will pierce my darkest night, showing sins of doubt and fear within my heart. Self-confidence and pride, the rebel thought. then it brings cleansing hope that quiets my heart. So as we read your holy word, help us see, Lord, help us learn. Holy Spirit, from its pages lead the way. And let me see glimpses of truth you have for me. For in your word I find the truth that sets me free.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible. The Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called The Spirit of Adoption, part of this series of messages in the Epistle to the Romans. The text is found in chapter 8, verses 15 through 18, in which the Apostle Paul shows that having delivered believers from condemnation through the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the Holy Spirit brings them into the liberty of God's adopted sons and assures them that by adopting them, God bestows upon them glorious rights and privileges, even as adopted children become legitimate participations in all the privileges of natural-born children. So those whom God adopts enjoy not only such a legal standing, but they become joint heirs with Christ because of their union with Him. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called The Spirit of Adoption.
By the Spirit of Adoption we cry, Abba, Father. Now the word Abba is an Aramaic word. So if you want to show your linguistic skill and the scope of the languages you can speak, you can add Arabic now or Aramaic now. You can say Abba. The word Father in the Greek text is a Greek word. They both mean the same thing. They both mean Father. And when you bring them both together, the idea is one of intensity and of assurance. By the Spirit of Adoption, with great intensity, with deep emotion. This is not something just rolling off the end of the tongue in some meaningless jargon. The Holy Spirit is so witnessing to the heart that from the depths of the soul, with deep intensity and with wonderful assurance, we lift our eyes to the God of glory and we cry, Father! We so stand related to God. The Jews, when they pray, most frequently speak of Him and to Him as King of the universe. Thank God He is that. Creator, upholder, and King of it all. When you listen to the written prayers of the liturgical churches, most often they are sounding forth very sonorously about Almighty God. And He is Almighty God. He is the All-Powerful. But oh, when you put together all that the Bible says about the person and the perfections of the Triune God, and you think of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, those are intra-Trinitarian descriptions, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We, as it were, are standing on the outside and we are beholding something of the majestic beauty and glory and perfection of the eternal God. But now the Holy Spirit comes as the Spirit of Adoption and He so witnesses within our heart and He so brought us to Christ and then to all that's in Christ, that we lift our hearts. He is the King of the universe. He is the Almighty. He is all this that the Bible says He is. But we can say He's our Father. Abba, Father. Abba. It's a term that's sanctified because it's the term that fell from the lips of our Savior as He addressed His Father in the depths of His suffering. Abba, Father. The Jews restricted the use of that term, that Aramaic term. It was a term that no one but a free man could use. Slaves throughout the Roman Empire, and you've got to remember that there were more slaves than free men. Slaves would refer to their masters as father. Pater. But the Jews would not allow a slave to use the word Abba. That belongs alone on the lips of free men. And therefore, It is peculiarly and particularly apt for justified people. We come to the God of glory and we cry, Abba, Father. This is what the Holy Spirit witnesses to God's people. He witnesses to them that they are in the family of God. Now, too often, I think people seek assurance on the wrong basis. I can't read hearts and minds, but I'd be willing to say that there are people in this meeting tonight, and you've struggled with the matter of assurance. And you're perhaps still struggling with the matter of assurance. And you might have been up and down the same aisle 2 or 3 or 4 or 50 times looking for assurance. And you've prayed the same prayer and expecting this time it'll work, this time it'll take. Usually people are looking for this assurance on the wrong basis. They're looking within. And then they're asking the Holy Ghost to speak to them. As if they're going to hear this voice out of heaven that says, yes, you're all right. You're in. And of course, if that did happen next week, you'd be thinking, well, what was that, my imagination? Was that the voice of God? Was that the devil trying to trick me? You know, you'd go over the whole thing again. The witness of the Holy Spirit always takes us back to Christ. The witness of the Holy Spirit always brings us back to what Jesus Christ did and what we have as a result, and especially to the truth, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The witness of the Spirit is always, first of all, a gospel witness, and secondly, what the Holy Ghost has to say, he says in this book. Never forget that. This book is the word and witness of the Spirit of God. Now, the power and the personal application of the witness of the Spirit of God lies in his work in the heart. And that work he sets out in this chapter. For example, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I said a moment ago, the Holy Spirit gives liberty. Now, Christians are not perfect. They're not sinless. They're not incapable of falling. But they're changed people. They're changed people. They're new creatures. They enjoy a liberty that they didn't have before. They have a conscience they didn't have before. They have a freedom from the tyranny of sin that they didn't have before. The flesh is now an intruder. It is not the monarch. You go ahead in Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 4. Again, it speaks of the righteousness of the law being fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. That is, to be minding the things of the flesh is death. It means you're not saved. To be minding the things of the Spirit, spiritually minded, is life and peace. For the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Here's where the Spirit comes witnessing to you. You're still in the body. But if you're saved, you're not in the flesh. You're attacked by flesh. You're still in the body. This body can be so easily transformed into an instrument of all sorts of evil. But in every Christian, there is a new principle. There's a new living principle. There's a new king in residence. There's a new governing force in residence. So the Holy Spirit points you back. Look at what Christ has done. Look at what he's done for you. And I'm telling you, says the Spirit of God, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You can cry, Abba, Father. For, as we read verse 16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. How does he do that? Through the gospel. Through the Bible. Through the conviction of heart as you're before God. This is not something that you wrap up in a little box and put a pink bow around it and say, here, I'm presenting you with the gift of assurance. No, no, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The third thing the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of adoption, does is that he shows believers the property they possess in Christ. Verse 17, if we're children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's one of the most amazing statements in all the Bible. We're children of God. We're adopted into the family of God. But Paul's saying, I want you to stop and see what that means. This is a text that's written against the background of Roman law. Every person who read this would be aware of what the law said about this matter of adoption. And when one was adopted into the family, the result was that all the benefits and all the blessings that that family, that father, would have to give, the inheritance, legally, belonged to that adopted child. And Paul is saying that you're children of God. The Holy Ghost is witnessing. You're crying, Abba, Father. What does that mean? Well, if you're children, then you're the heirs of God. Legally. You have a right. That sounds to be very strong language. But that's what the meaning is. You're heirs of God. You're the legal heirs of the God of glory. Heirs of God. And then he goes even further. He makes this astounding statement. You are joint heirs. The Greek text simply is the word that gives us the word equal. It's equal heirs. You're standing on the very same footing as the Lord Jesus Christ with him, equally. Heirs of God. The Bible didn't say it. We'd be afraid to say it. But that's what the Bible says. In other words, as children of God, we stand to inherit our Father's vast estate in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. How often have we thought of the words of Ephesians 1:3? Quoted them without really stopping to think them through. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What does that mean? Well, really, is there any great difficulty in understanding what it means as far as the words go? He's blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings. Now, I have to stand back in absolute amazement and then start confessing sin. When I look back over my life and see how I've lived my life in the light of that text, I'm ashamed. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Why on earth are we living like paupers spiritually? Why on earth are we as Christians staggering from pillar to post. When God says, I have blessed you with all spiritual blessings, now he gives you a list of some of them. I've blessed you with election. This really shows you how subtle the devil is and how stupid we are. God says, I've blessed you with election. And yet Christians, they want to make that a theological football. They want to fight about it. They want to argue about it. They want to make it into some philosophical debate. God says, no, this is a blessing. You were on your way to hell. There was not a thing in the world you could do about it. Nobody else could help you. You had no time for me, no heart for me, no love for me. And I chose you when there was nothing lovely about you. I chose you. It's a blessing. One thing that adoptive parents can always tell their adopted children, you're not here by accident. You're not an unwanted child.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.